Another season just finished, the NFL season, Super Bowl 40-22, and it got out of hand in a hurry. I know there's a lot of Chiefs fans in the area, although they weren't at Pinnacle Bank Arena last night, because anytime a Chiefs fan was shown on the big screen, they got booed. The PBA crowd booed a child, Nick.
Oh, that, no.
That's where this is. We had the conversation about who's hated or more hated, but yeah. There's definitely a level of hatred for Chiefs Kingdom, and they do not get the three-peat last night. Just your initial thoughts on that game and the way it played out.
Well, I was with you, and I spent Thursday afternoon talking to three former NFL players who, you know, two of them who actually played in the Super Bowl, and then one who played at such a high level in Zach Miller. All of them took the Chiefs. I was the only one who took the Eagles. And like I told you on Thursday as well, Caleb, I just felt like out of that run since their week five bye, the Eagles week five bye, that they were at now 15-1, now make it 16-1 since that bye, that this, you could make the argument both from the eyeball test and from the numbers that this was the toughest opponent that Kansas City was going to play in their Super Bowl run. And that's including the Eagles team 2 years ago that was pretty darn good, those 49ers teams that were good, and even Tampa Bay that beat Kansas City, that this Eagles team brought a lot. And we saw, I mentioned the front seven of this defense that was just nasty. Boy, it was the front four. And the fact that they did all that damage on Patrick Mahomes in six sacks, and Vic Fangio did not dial up one blitz, I found myself thinking, in all the things that you and I talked about, and Dave Tolleson, Chris Bober, and Zach Miller and myself talked about on Thursday, maybe the one guy, I don't know if anybody, even in the national broadcasts, talked about as much as far as the different elements and impact type of players and coaches. Nobody really talked about Vic Fangio. And if you put him in a coordinating position, because I know that he was 8-0, or I'm sorry, the Chiefs were 8-0 against Vic Fangio. That's also counting him as a head coach. The head coach thing wasn't necessarily Vic Fangio's strength. Him as a defensive coordinator, I think yesterday showed that he still can scheme. He can still frustrate even some of the very best of offenses, including this Kansas City Chiefs offense, and the best of coordinators when it comes to Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, that what he did reminded people that he is still an elite defensive coordinator. So their defensive effort alone. And then I thought Jalen Hurts, the evolution of his game is outstanding with his ability to run. But when he had to make the big throws, and he had to do so with, you know, a quick drop back, when he had to make reads under duress, I thought he was poised. I think his game collectively, where people are like, hey, he doesn't throw the ball. If he has to throw the ball, you know, 30, 40 times, boy, it's advantage opposition. I think he showed again that he continues to learn from his experiences. That was as well-rounded of a game that Jalen Hurts has played with those types of stakes. And I think you can look at what the Chiefs didn't do, but you can't do that without saying, damn, the Eagles were just locked in all three phases.
Yeah, it's, and you talk about Jalen Hurts, he made some good downfield throws.
Yeah.
He made some good throws on the money downfield, and it wasn't that the Eagles were going to live with the passing game. They built the lead, and then it was, okay, we'll pick a little bit here, but it's mostly going to be running the ball. And Jalen Hurts, of course, you know, runs the ball pretty well. Also, my wife actually said something during the game, and there are some times where you're like, yeah, there's a little bit of like want to and just deciding you're going to do something. But my wife, I'll preface with this. She was a Packers fan.
Oh,
she's diehard Taylor Swift. She has become a Chiefs fan over the last couple of seasons. And so we went to Hy-Vee. We got the Chiefs little cakes that they had out there, because I like cake and it had the Chiefs on it. So my wife was happy too. So I got to eat a little bit of cake on Super Bowl Sunday.
Doesn't matter who's on it.
I was like, I don't care. Like, what do I care?
It all tastes the same, right?
It's marble buttercream. What do I care what it looks like? It's all about what's on the inside, as we always say. Mm-hmm. But as the game was going, and all of a sudden it's 14-0. It's 21-0. My wife goes, I think the Eagles just decided that there was no way they were going to lose today. And I was like, I think there's something to that. There's something to that. The revenge factor of a couple of seasons ago, the Chiefs having, they're going for a three-peat. And what you don't want to be in the history books is that little side note of who did the Chiefs complete the three-peat over? And I know it's the same in a lot of different things in baseball. Who did he get his 3,000th hit on? Mm-hmm. Who did he get his 100th career win against? Who was his last out? Like, there's those types of things you don't want to be. And I was like, you know what? My wife was right. I think there was just enough want to, on top of all of the things schematically and the things that guys did athletically and the way that they executed, there was definitely a degree of want to that the Eagles had that it seemed like the Chiefs didn't show up with to match.
Yeah, and it's a very astute point on her part, because the Eagles were saying as much after the game. You don't want to be posterized in history. And that's what the Eagles were up against, was being posterized and being that team that they got the three-peat. And talk about not being that team, but also putting yourself into that rare category of Super Bowl blowouts. Now, the 21 points make it seem a lot closer than that was. To me, that was a 40-6 game. I mean, that's what it felt like. That was a 40-6 game. And so now all of a sudden you're putting yourself in the category of, well, I'll say it. By the way, did she give up on the Packers? Because I want to say, even more of a smart lady coming from a Bears fan here, that's really cool.
Also Bears here. So,
oh, even better. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we can start with one of the greatest blowouts, 46-10, 85 Bears. So the Chiefs have now, or I should say the Eagles have put themselves in that category of most dominant performance. When you think of 46-10, when you think of what the Seahawks did to the Denver Broncos in putting up 50, the Niners and Bengals. I mean, there are some blowouts that we've seen in the last 30, 40 years, but really we've been spoiled with some great finishes as well. When you get a blowout like that and a very lopsided outcome, that stands out, not for the right reasons for the Chiefs, but for Philadelphia, because when we love doing this, especially during the downtime before we really get into the season, of some of the great Super Bowl teams. The Eagles in that performance, given what they were up against with one of the greatest dynasties in modern football, they put themselves in that category of, boy, is this Eagles team one of the greatest Super Bowl teams we've ever seen because of what they did in that game. And if you would have told me that Saquon Barkley would have been held to under 60 yards in this game, I would have thought, oh my gosh, the Eagles are in trouble. But they didn't need him. That was the beauty of it.
Yeah, it was nice to, you know, go to the offseason, make those acquisitions, make those moves, and go, you know what? I guess we could have really plugged in just about any piece in this game, but obviously it helps having those pieces to get you there, including a trio of Huskers. The only one that played last night was Cam Jurgens at center. He recovered enough from the back injuries and kind of the things that were ailing him throughout the playoffs. Nick Gates was actually downgraded, sent to the IR on Saturday, so he wasn't able to be suited up and out there, and Oshad Mathis was on the practice squad for the last couple of months. But that is now a trio of Huskers with Super Bowl rings. When was the last time that happened, Nick Handley?
Oh my gosh, I got to think. It's had to have happened before, right?
It has happened four times.
Was there once when the Broncos won? I know that Tony Veland was there a couple other ones? I don't have it off the top of my head.
So to have a trio of Huskers win the Super Bowl, the last time it happened, 2020, Levante David.
Oh yes. The Bucks.
Sue.
Yep. There you go. Okay.
And then that was more recent. You got to go back to 1989. 49ers. Jamie Williams, Tom Rathman, Roger Craig.
Okay.
Before that, 76 with Oakland. Monty Johnson, Dave Hum, Rick Bonas.
So you're in rare air. That's cool. See, there's a local historical flavor to this one, too, for the Eagles. So, see, Chiefs fans, if you're a Chiefs Nebraska fan, you can take at least some solace in that, knowing that the Huskers were well represented on the biggest stage yesterday.
One more note before we get into some Nebraska men's basketball talk. What a run recently for small-town Southeast Nebraska. Cortland has the new volleyball coach at Nebraska, the preeminent volleyball program in the country. Pickerel has a Super Bowl champion. Look at you, small town Southeast Nebraska. I know anyone around Beatrice is pumped right now.
Yes. Hey,
Beatrice, Freeman, look at you guys. Look at you guys go.
Yeah, and real quickly, you mentioned Cam Jurgens. Did you notice there in the fourth quarter? I think that just the adrenaline of that game had his body capable and effective in that game. But by the fourth quarter, and this is, I think, maybe right before Kansas City scored their second touchdown, Eagles are coming off the field, and he was dragging. He was limping pretty good. I was like, oh man, just, hey, you've been taped together this long for this game. But yeah, you could tell it was wearing on him. But what an effort. I mean, and then that's the thing for Nebraska fans. That transition, and you and I talked about this before too, that transition that he made from tight end to center, then there was the snapping yips that he had in college football. Look at how far he has come, not only to win a Super Bowl, but to replace one of the great offensive linemen that we've seen in the last decade in Jason Kelce. But for him to have that type of effort where he was probably at best 75% physically, and he was still a major factor. I mean, Jalen Hurts was living a pretty good life last night, and a lot of that had to do with the guys up front, including Cam Jurgens. So tip of the cap for that type of effort, given what his body was going through.